Alright, just be advised, everyone, you might want to run on an HT for a little while, or a low-profile antenna, because there is some thunder and lightning in the area. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. This net meets weekly on a frequency of 146.955, the 2-meter repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, located in Alpine, New Jersey. The PL is 141.3. And the offset is minus 600 kilohertz. You also can access the repeater via the K2 Foxtrot Juliet dash L, K2 Foxtrot Juliet dash Lima, Echo Link, and we encourage people to use that as well. This set is about a conversation about ham radio, about electronics, communications, in general, computers, telecommunications, the underlying science and technology that goes into that stuff, the underlying scientific principles that go into that. It also is about our experiences, how we've applied our amateur radio capabilities or our experience in electronics or whatever. How we'd like to. It can be aspirational, it can be retrospective. Oh man, I did that once, it's so cool, I can't wait to do it again. Or, oh man, I did that, I hope I never do that again. You know, all that kind of stuff. It's all good. We encourage stations to check in even if they don't have a question or a comment, or for sale or swap or wanted item. You're welcome to check in anyway. In fact, we really would like you to, because frankly, it helps us shape the dialogue among us all. So with no further ado, let's get the Echo Link stations. I'm going to start with N2OEL, since I know he's on Echo Link, and he can tell me if there's anybody else I should be asking for. N2OEL, K2BAR, what's your pleasure this evening, sir?
KQBR, N2OEL. No comments, no questions, just driving along in this blizzard.
Oh, you're driving along in your in the Great White North?
Yes, I don't dare go south until we get some decent weather between here and there. Every week, or every other day, there's a different storm. So I do not dare take a 35-foot RV towing the Saturn, which makes my total length about 53 feet or so. I'm not going to drive in a snowstorm, and I'm not going to be crazy about driving in a rainstorm either.
Very good, Noel. All right. So you have no questions or comments tonight. Are there any other stations on Echo Link? All right, Noel, will you be giving us any questions or comments or for sale or swap or wanted items?
No, I said I do not have any for sale, for swap, or questions or wanted items. Thank you. This is N2OEL. I'll be silent the rest of the evening.
It doesn't have to be that way. All right, very good. All right, thanks, Noel. All right, stations, this call sign begin with the letter A for Alpha.
C2T.
Okay, Mr. Paul, welcome aboard. AC2T. Very nice. Good to hear you. Are there any other stations with an Alpha call? Okay, let's do something a little unusual. Let's go right to the Kilo 2s. All right, how about any other kilos?
82DDK.
Gotcha, Gary. What's your pleasure?
Just listening.
Alrighty, very good. Any other kilos?
82TRW, good evening.
Was that KA2TRW? And your name and your pleasure, sir.
KB2TRW, this is Kai, good evening.
Boy, you are so fast and you've got a little egg fry. Kilo Bravo 2, Tango Romeo Whiskey, and your name is Hi, as in H-I, as in Hotel India.
Morning. I mean, good evening. This is Kai, AB2TRW. Good evening, Gordon.
Okay, Kai. Very good. Welcome aboard. Alrighty. Do you have any questions, comments for sailor swap, etc.?
Just wondering whether anyone's in the new DMR HD that's going around.
Yeah, you got a question, but I really didn't get the question. It dropped off, and I'm really not familiar with the word you used in between. So I'll just note you have a question. We'll come back to you. Try to work on your signal if you could, and speak a little slower. Alrighty. Any other kilos? Okay. Let's go to Whiskies.
Good evening, Gordon. This is WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River. Just listening this evening.
Good evening, James. Very good. Any other Whiskies?
WI2LYC, Bill, Riverbell. Just lurking.
Much Gordon.
Okay, I have two. I have Bill, LYP, lurking. And I have W2S. What's your pleasure, Randy?
I have one comment this evening, Gordon.
Super, Randy, we'll get you. Not a problem. Any other Whiskies?
WI2W, with a comment?
Send it tonight.
Okay, I got WI2W with a comment. Good evening, Steve. And there was another station who lost, in a word, who I don't know what his call sign is, name, or what his intentions are. Station, go ahead.
W2LCN, the name is Rick in Bloomingdale. Just listening in tonight. I was the station. Back.
Okay, Mr. Rick, very good. Welcome aboard. And any other Whiskies? Alright, there were two stations in there. I don't know how to sort it out, so one of you key up, say something, and unkey real quick just to see if the other one talks. Station again. The Whiskey station again, please.
Whiskey 2, Juliet, Echo Kilo. Whiskey 2, Juliet, Echo Kilo, on a handheld.
Okay, Don, I gotcha. Yeah, you're probably smart to be using a handheld. I'm going to trust that you have a comment for this evening. Who was the other station?
W2R, Charles.
Evening, Charles. Welcome aboard. Alrighty. Any other Whiskies?
Whiskey 2, November, Papa Radio. Hector, no comments or questions at this time.
Okay, Hector, very good. Good evening to you as well. And we'll look forward to getting a comment from you someday, or a question, or both. Anyway. Alrighty. Any other Whiskies? Okay, very good. Let's go to November's. Hello, guys. I have to take this quick call. Good, thank you, gentlemen. All right, any other November stations? All right, any stations who have not checked in yet want to try a shot at it, go right ahead, K2BAR. Yeah, okay. Kai, you want to come back with your call sign one more time? And I think you wanted to ask a question. I don't want to take the question right this second, but just want to make sure I get your call correct.
Yes, call sign is Kilo Bravo 2, Tango Romeo Whiskey. question I have tonight is, has anyone heard about the new DMR HT that's making its rounds in availability? That's all. Back to you.
Interesting, Kai. DMR, Delta Mike Romeo, I'm not familiar with that company. Unless you're talking about Papa Mike Romeo, which is a European kind of like an unlicensed service, sort of like our FRS. What did you mean?
Yes, this is the Delta Mike Romeo. This is the DMR system. That's a European system. In the United States, it's also known as MotoTurbo, a Motorola product. Motorola implements the DMR protocol, but also adds some of their own customization. But it's predominantly a open standard. Back to you.
Okay, and who's implementing it? Is that new Yaesu digital protocol?
Negative. It's actually a HP that's being introduced by a company called Connect Systems out in California, Southern California, and I guess they have a outside manufacturer in China that's making it for them, putting their name on. But it's essentially a DMR Tier 1, which is a FDMA, and a Tier 2, which is a two-slot TDMA. That you can communicate with the repeaters. Over.
3A2UMP with a comment.
Go ahead, Jim.
There was some talk about it on the on one of the repeaters, and I looked into it. It's $160. Looked kind of interesting. Imported. It seems like it might be a good introduction to DMR. I'm not sure if I've listened to DMR. I'm not sure whether I like D-Star or DMR better, probably D-Star. But my thoughts for $160, I might be inclined to just purchase the HD and try it.
Yeah, I just pulled it up. So just curious, one of my complaints about working with D-Star is that if you lose sync, it just sounds terrible during the rest of the transmission. Does that happen with DMR, or does it have a resync capability like P25 does?
No expert by any way, shape, or form, but I've heard it before, and the audio has probably a slightly better quality to it. I did not hear the R2D2ing, but I'm sure that occurs also. The problem with DMR, some of the words I found a little hard to understand. Once in a while, you find yourself wondering, what did he say? What did he say? In some ways, the audio does sound a little better than D-Star. I don't know. My opinion of it is just subjective. I haven't read anything. My thoughts for $160, it might be worth just trying.
Well, I'm on the Connect Systems website, and boy, they provide a really nice set of documentation and software. So there's a spec sheet, there's a user manual, there's an alignment manual, which I'm noticing is not clickable. That's interesting. But there's a programming manual, so I guess the alignment manual is probably some sort of variation on a service manual I have. Then they have programming software, various versions, bug lists for various firmwares, PC program for upgrading firmware. So, sounds like it's a reasonably well-supported toy. I do notice that there's a reference to a CS700 model, MotoTurbo DMR ham radio from Connect Systems on YouTube. So it's a 35-second video, might be worth taking in.
The only problem I had with DMR, it's proprietary in the fact that Motorola seemed to be the only company in the game. This is kind of a break from that, and now that there's a cheaper alternative, and certainly a company that's not affiliated with Motorola, so maybe it'll be interesting to see what evolves with Moto Turbo. The other thing I didn't like about Moto Turbo is that it's more expensive to set up a repeater. With D-Star, you can set up a hotspot for a relatively inexpensive, relatively little money. But again, for $160, it may be worth checking out more closely. Back to Ned. This is WATUMP.
Yeah, I'm noticing here. It's DMR Tier 1, I think it just said, and that's, that's a PMR band, the 446 European, personal mobile radio, or professional mobile radio band, your viewpoint. But they do have other capabilities. So, it's something to think about. There's certainly some opportunities here. Anywhere from, apparently radios are made everywhere from 66 to 960 megs, so that's pretty good. The two-slot 12.5 kilohertz channel, I guess, allows you to, to run voice and data separately, but on the same carrier. Is that what's going on there? Or can you interleave these on a repeater and have two different source channels coming out of one common output transmitter?
I'm not sure if I'm addressing your question, but the way Moto Turbo has worked is that each repeater has three channels. One's for local, one's for North American / English speaking countries, and the other one is global. So each repeater will support those three. It's kind of a simple scheme, but not sure how well that will scale. For example, with D-Star, you have multiple reflectors, a lot more than just three. So that seems to scale a lot better. Anyway, for $160, despite all the negatives, it might just be worth, might be fun, and it might be worth trying. There are several DMR repeaters in the area, in New York and in Rockland and in North Jersey. The other thing, it can be hacker-proof in that each radio has an ID, and you can identify and lock out any particular person that proves to be a jammer. Back to Ned.
Yeah, but they still can provide a carrier on the frequency and annoy you, right? They just won't pass their signal through the repeater.
They won't be able to, they could jam it, theoretically, but they won't be able to have anybody hear what they say.
Gotcha. Alrighty. That's certainly something to think about. I didn't realize that they had the three modes. It would be, I'm wondering, they do say they support PLs and that they appear as a sine wave on the carriers. What I'm wondering is if you could use the PLs at least to scale gateways you want it to go to and kind of steer that, but very good. So the repeaters are internet-enabled, and where do they normally go? I guess that's my question. For that global, how does that work?
Well, you would need a repeater, and again, there's several in the area. There's one right here in Rockland County, right here in Orangetown on 444.000. You may have heard some activity down there as you're seeing by. But the repeater's hooked up to the internet, and the way the scheme works is you have one of three channels to pick from. Vertex, which is owned by Motorola, makes a decent transceiver for $395. It's on most of Moto Turbo's on $440. There are a few towns, a few cities like Boston that use 2 meters, and I think that's because I know at least in Cape Cod, the military uses the 440 band for radar, so that's, you can't easily put up a repeater there. Anyway, not sure if I answered your question, but back to that.
Yeah, coming back to your scalability question, but all right, very good. I found a CS700 for $285 on Amazon. Clearly, that's not what we want. It's a UHF-only radio. But you say these are now available for about $160. That's pretty good. So the CS700 is one, and we'll have to look at Kinect systems overall and see what else we can do. There's a lot of reviews here. There's a Canadian review, a bunch of stuff. Maybe we should all dig down and look at it and come back to it at another time. But it's a great question. Thank you, Kai, for raising it. Just curious, Kai, why did you raise the subject in the first place?
TBTTRW. The reason why I brought the question up is I thought it was interesting, again, because of the price point, seeing that all of the D-Star radios are all at least twice as much as that, and Vertex is also twice the price. So just on price alone, I figure why not try it out. So I called up, I placed an order. However, the order, they don't have any in stock, so they're back ordered, and the price is raised. It's a little more, but it's still less than $200 a piece. So I figure I can't lose. And current forecast is delivery by the end of the month. Back to that.
Okay, very good. Was there somebody on that call who wanted to say something?
Comment?
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I looked it up on Wikipedia, and it said that it's an open standard, so that might explain some of the price difference, because you don't have to pay for the license to use the codec like you do with D-Star. So standard, perhaps we'll see some innovation by lots of different companies, and the competition will keep the price low. Back to that.
I was reading through that some more. What I'm seeing is that it's an AMBI chip. So I don't know. It really is. It's fascinating. So we'll have to see what gives. Alright, so Kai, anything else you want to add right now?
2RRA connected, WB1GRB.
Let's try this, WB1GRB, go ahead. And 2RRA, go ahead. Alright, well, can't say we didn't try. All right, Kai, back to you, KB2TRWW2TGTK2BAR.
Yeah, so that's my only comment, and if know, by the end of the month I get it, I'll play around with it and I'll give some preliminary findings on based on what I discover. Back to net.
It's a great idea, and you know what's really fascinating about that is that, you know, you'll have the, you have the 444.0 repeater to mess with.
Yeah, that's affirmative. Also, since I work in a city, there seems to be a number of repeaters in Brooklyn and also in Queens, so probably trying those too. Back to net.
Okay, very good. All right, so our next is W2JEK. Don, go right ahead.
K2BAR and then W2JEK. Good evening, everybody. Hope you hear me. I'm on the handy talkie. A little lightning around here. Yeah, I'm just announcing that Barra is running a BE test session this a week from tomorrow. That's Friday, the 21st of this month at 7 p.m. at the Westwood Regional High School. Test fee is $15 and bring some ID like a driver's license or passport or whatever, or one form of photo ID, two forms of non-photo ID. And if you are licensed, bring your license and there's a copy of it. And you want to bring a calculator, you can, but nothing can be stored in the etc. as calculators is not allowed. And if anybody has any questions, ask now or get in touch with me. You can see my phone number on the Barra website, barra.org. The directions to the test site are also there, where the same location as a hand test. Back to the W2JK.
Okie doke. Anybody have any comments for Don? Don, yeah, you made it through. It was all good. A little crackly, but we got it. Anything else you want to say, Don?
That's all set off for tonight. Just glad I can use a handheld with it. Where I am on, I don't have a good one, but I guess I got a pretty good shot to repeat it. Back to net, W2JK.
Very good. Very, very good. All right, let's see. WITW, Steve, your question.
Well, actually, I have two comments. The first one is directed to Don, W2JEK, just to offer my congratulations for working Amsterdam Island via 20-meter CW QRP. That's quite an accomplishment to get 5 watts on the other side of the globe, especially amongst the horrendous pileups that occurred. So my hat's off to you. Kudos, Don, W2J. And my second comment was is that another one of my ham radio buddies came up and supplied me with plenty of Cat5 cable that I requested last year. So I'm very grateful for that donation and look forward to building a lightweight antenna for my soda activity as soon as it's left stop, so I can get outside and test it. So thanks to the friend who got me that cable. And with that, back to Ned.
Okay. Does anybody want to comment on that?
You see.
Who is that?
W2JK. I want to thank you. Thanks, Steve, for this comment about my FT5ZN contact.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Very cool. All right. Yeah, you fleet power talking to the other end of the world. Anybody else? Okay, Steve, is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, that's it. I'm in listening mode, WI2W.
Well, QRP is cool. I mean, that's HF QRP, and that's neat. on its own face. I used to do what used to be called ULP portable for VHF contests, and the principle behind that was not to have the greatest signal in the world, but to have really good antennas, really good receivers, great operating skills, and more bands. And so that's kind of another approach. I mean, you know, it's very easy to get suckered into, you know, high power and stuff like that, but if you can operate low power, can make up for it with operator skill, maybe antennas and receivers and things like that. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So, good for you. Congratulations again, Don. Our next question comes from Randy, WU2S, K2BAR.
Thank you. Before I get to my comment, I did have a question for Steve, W2IW. The QRP rig that you were showing off the Barra meeting on Sunday, who is the manufacturer of that again? That was one of the most impressive little things I've ever seen.
The rig is called an MTR, or a mountain topper. It was created and put together in kit form by Stephen Weber, and his call is KD1JV. This was his second run of MTRs. He's made a few other radios, ATS for Appalachian Trail Sprint, ATS 3A, 3B, and a few others. So he's no stranger to these very tiny radios. You can only get them by being a member of the AT_Sprint Yahoo group. That's where he hangs out, and followers of his radio hang out there. And when he has a batch ready for sale, he announces it and takes orders via email. The last group of 150, I was number 74, and he was sold out within about 36 hours. So you have to monitor that list. The good news is that he's got a new version of the MTR coming out in the next couple months. And this particular one is going to have three bands available. So you can build it from 80 meters up to 17 meters. And you can get three bands within there. And that's probably the way it's going to go. He did say that this time he was going to give preference to people that have not purchased from him before. So if you're interested in obtaining one, sign up for that AT_Sprint. And pay attention every day. Don't come up quick. If you're not comfortable building surface mounts and stuff, there are several members in the group that are willing to build them.
Rigs using the PSK-31, and they gave the demonstration, and they
keep that in mind. I'll look around for his radios may be coming surplus from somebody else to buy a used one. Alrighty. Randy, do you want to follow up or anything else, or anybody else want to follow anything?
Yes, so I had a quick comment here having to do with Raspberry Pis. About a week ago, I sent my son, AJ, KD2ENV, over to the Micro Center store in Patterson to pick up some parts and stuff, and while he was there, he decided he would get himself a Raspberry Pi, since he's seen me and some of the other folks here in the area playing around with them and hooking them up to the broadband ham net. And he thought that was a pretty neat thing. So he picked one up. He got a Raspberry Pi and a little camera attachment that's at the end of a little short ribbon cable, and it plugs into one of the headers. I think the whole the total for the two plus an SD card was something like $80 or something. So really wasn't expensive. So he got all this thing hooked up. The reason he was interested in this was a show that he saw on Amateur Logic TV. Let me let this drop for a moment. And the episode played, I guess, at the end of last year. And one of the hosts, Peter from Australia, showed how he hooked up a Raspberry Pi and with this little piece of time-lapse software so that he could take pictures, well, default every 60 seconds, and you can change that. You can make it as short as you want or space it out a lot. So AJ got the thing hooked up okay, and with my help, he started learning his first Linux commands and showed him how to use PuTTY and WinSCP to access the Raspberry Pi from one of his other computers across the home network, and he just had a real ball with it. And so if anybody's looking to for a neat way of getting involved with Raspberry Pi, learning a very little bit of simple but practical Linux commands, and having a little fun setting up a little surveillance system or something to capture pictures of the wildlife in your backyard, I strongly recommend taking a look at that Amateur Logic TV episode and seeing how to set it up. And of course, AJ's available to help you out if you have any questions. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to net control.
Yeah, one question. How good is the optics on the and the recovery of the image on the camera? And it, you know, he said he used it in time lapse, so that suggests he's using it to take photographs. I'm assuming it's a 720p camera, since that's pretty much what the video output capability is of that same Pi HDMI port. What's the utility of that? What's the resolution of that? And also, does it work in video mode?
The answer to some of your questions are yes. It operates in video and streaming mode, and then he's also just taking in effect snapshots every minute. In other words, stealing a frame and then saving it as a JPEG. So it works either way. I think you're right about the resolution. It's 720p, but I wouldn't swear by it. So it's not terrific. I mean, the whole camera is sitting on a tiny little circuit board that can't be more than 3/4 inch square, and the lens obviously is a lot smaller than that. It's probably something like somewhere between 1/4 and 3/8 inch in diameter at most. So it's not spectacular, but frankly, for something that small, it's not that bad. Back to net control.
Very nice, very nice. Hey, I'd like to see what it does in video mode. Of course, I want to see what it, some samples of what its resolution is. If you can send like one frame over, or post it to the ComTech group, you know, just one frame of what it still looks like, that'd be pretty cool. Pretty good. Anybody else have any questions about the Pi? I'm going to punctuate here with a couple of things. Next Wednesday, a group of us are going to give a little presentation to the Wayne Radio Club. It was supposed to be a couple of Mondays back, but snow got in the way. Hopefully snow will not get in the way this Wednesday. It'll be at 7 or 7:30. I think it's 7. So, you know, and it'll be kind of a long-form presentation, so try to get there, and we'll have all sorts of things to demo. Randy, I'm going to ask you to kind of summarize some of the other things that are going on, but I did want to point something out here. There's a place called icebergarmynavy.com, icebergarmynavy.com. I think they're on Minnesink Road in Totowa, but I know that several people, including Rick, have been looking for multicolor parachute cord, and they stock 100 different colors, and they're, you know, a lot of them are hybrid colors where 2 and 3 and 4 colors go into the cord with various kinds of reflectivity, etc. So Iceberg Army Navy, I've never heard of them, but it came up on a website when I was looking at the DMR stuff, so sometimes it's good to look at the pop-up ads. Anyway, Google knows what you want to buy before you buy it. All right, so Randy, what else did you want to summarize about some of our latest adventures? And while you're doing that, I've got to go dig for a file and send it to you.
Well, we just briefly, we did another impromptu demonstration of current state of the broadband hamnet at the BERA monthly meeting on Sunday evening here in Washington Township, and we just took a couple of minutes and explained what we were doing and why. We had time before the meeting started to give some of the folks that were interested a little longer explanation. The whole point of the broadband hamnet is to be able to very quickly set up and deploy an ad hoc mesh network that can provide communications across a broad area, particularly in times of emergency. We've been testing out new equipment from Ubiquiti, which gives us a much longer range than the standard Linksys routers that we've all been using. We can get multiple miles from the much more higher powered Ubiquiti nodes. And we're also successfully configuring telephones on the system using voice over IP and using a PBX running on a Raspberry Pi, of all things. So we're having a lot of fun with this, and as Gordon said, we'll be at the Wayne Public Library next Wednesday evening about 7 o'clock, I believe. And so you're all welcome to come there. We'll have an opportunity to give a longer explanation of what we've been doing and why, and with examples of much of the equipment. So there'll be time to get through how all this stuff works and why it works the way it does and where we think we're going with this. You're all welcome to that. Again, hoping it isn't raining or flooding us out. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to net control.
Yeah, anybody have any additional thoughts on this, or comments or questions?
KD2DDK?
Mr. Gary.
Oh, you guys are up on the ham net, but I just wanted to let you know, and I don't know whether you did or not, Carl, W2KBF, and I were checking out Micro Center's Raspberry Pi stuff, and they seem to have restocked with lots of interesting toys. multi-box learner kits of all different sizes and shapes and all sorts of good things. That's just an FYI.
Well, tell us about some of it.
The bottom row around that corner is filled with nothing but Raspberry Pis, but they're in much bigger boxes, and they have all sorts of names on them, like Educator's Kit and Learning Kit and Camera Kit. And that's maybe what was purchased, you know, and it comes with everything in all in one box and one purchase, plus a number of different other boards that would made up with Arduino or Raspberry Pi. It's just a greatly expanded corner since the last time I've been there.
Is that the corners over, you know, adjacent to the customer service area on the left side of the store as you walk in?
Yeah, it's over on the far left against that wall by customer, it's not customer service. Isn't it package pickup over there? It's down the far end, all the way to the left from the front door in that little notch.
You're right. It's on the left side. It's package pickup, not customer service. Customer service to the right. You're right. Okay. I just know over time I've gotten more customer service from package pickup than I have from customer service. That may be the source of my confusion. Very good. Very, very good, actually. Alrighty. Let's see, what else do we have? Anybody else? Now, some of the projects we're working on, just so you know, just to give you a scope of what this mesh stuff is. As of now, we've demonstrated and feel comfortable using, they're by no means flawless, but we can generally make them work, is a web server, a chat server, which allows you to send text messages to individuals or groups. Especially useful when you're in high noise environments and where the cell network may not be reliable or rapid enough for getting your text message across. Some of the IRCs or Internet Relay Chat servers will also allow you to move files, and some of the more advanced ones will allow you to move video, although we haven't tried the video yet. We have tried files. That works. We've tried FTP servers. We've tried secure logon, SSH, as Randy mentioned. We have done video streaming from cameras. Not successfully done video streaming like from a VLC client to, or from a VLC server to a client, but that'll come. We have made phone calls. The phone calls have gone two ways. Some of our phones, the Grand Streams, let me drop it. Our Grand Stream phones will allow us, if we know the IP address of the phone we want to dial, you can dial via IP address, which is kind of bizarre, and that does not require a PBX, of any kind, whether it's on a Pi or anything else. It's a bit crude, but it does work. The other thing is with the RAS PBX, it's working very, very well. And there's several of us with functional PBXs now that have tried phones on it, and several more in the works. What's going to happen, the next step will be that people will try to tie their PBXs together with what they call friend trunking. You can look that up, friend trunk. And that allows you to take your assigned devices and have them become known to another PBX that you are, you have to know about the other PBX, and ultimately you have to have connectivity to it, but once you do, it'll exchange information as to which devices are registered on each person's PBX so you can actually dial them. And then that'll lead to text messaging over phones, and the next thing after that, we do have an internet gateway capability over cellular or off of Wi-Fi. And we are using two sets of platforms. We're using both the old Linksys routers, but you have to be careful as to which models are usable, because there are some that are Linux-based and some that are not. And they all look the same. But we also have we were recently blessed to be on the Ubiquiti beta test team. And that's what we've really gone into. I want to commend Randy for really driving that home for Carl and Rick and me in particular, and Gary. I also want to commend Rick for buying a bunch of GL routers a while back, which proved to be very useful for the Linksys, and the WRT54 GLs, and also for Carl, who got some camera work going early on. And then most recently, what do you call it, Rick acquired a bunch of Grandstream phones that came surplus, and so we've been using that, so that's all good. The next thing will be, after that, will be to try tunneling across the Internet, where we don't have connectivity among us. In the RF space, we'll be able to connect our mesh networks via backhauls of either cellular or
repeater. Repeater, timeout, clear.
Wow, did I time that out perfectly? Wow, that was amazing. All righty. Anyway, so that was a long transmission, but it's a lot of information. So, you know, one of the things that MCOM folks were interested in is being able to dial each other. And so we proved that. And there's some security overlays that we'll work on, and some other directory services that Randy's working on, and Gary's working on Cisco phones in addition to the Grandstreams, and some other little doodad projects. So a lot of stuff going on. So it's kind of neat, and very exciting stuff. So, Randy, I've kind of talked a lot, but let's see if anybody else wants to drop in. If not, maybe you or Gary want to add something, or Rick.
I didn't have anything else this evening, Gordon.
Hey, anybody else want to chime in?
KQBAR, W2FM.
Mr. Rick.
I'll just throw it out there because I think, you know, you're giving me some credit for, you know, picking up some phones and things, but I got to give you guys the credit for really kind of teaching me a lot more. I think that if everyone else that's out there listening was to stop down to the club on Friday and just see some of the things or reach out, I think they'd be surprised that the things that you can learn by just being close to what's going on. And I have certainly learned a lot from watching you guys. So what started out as a jump into ham radio only, I guess, a few years ago, I'm getting to be part of a lot of pretty cool projects. And it's a lot more simple when you got a really good group of people around. So if anyone hasn't gotten a chance to get over there to the Fairlawn Club or to the Bauer meeting, or more specifically to the new Wayne Club, it's going to be a good opportunity to kick off another ham radio organization, which I don't know if there's many that have kicked off in this area in quite a while, but I think it'd be a great opportunity to show up and see what they're doing over there and what other people are doing. I'm really a little disappointed that I missed the Bauer meeting, but it's pretty exciting stuff. When you see it laid out there, you say, wow, this is really pretty neat to be a part of, and there's just a tremendous amount of resources. So if anybody is listening, whether they're new hams or not, jump on in and give a call and say, hey, when is that that event? When is you know, the Friday night typically over at Fairlawn is a nice event. But come on over. Reach out and say, hey, when is that? Just come out and see what's happening. I think I've learned something every time I have come down there. And because of this net, I've gotten my antenna. I've gotten my first HF rig, my second HF rig, all because of discussions that happened here. So come on out. Just, like, take a look at what's going on and learn, because this is pretty pretty amazing stuff, and it's just a great group of resources. So that's all I can put out there. This is W2LPN. I'll send it back to K2BAR.
Okay, so I think Rick sells himself a little short. He also thinks outside the box. He's a can-do kind of guy. and reached in his pocket and fronted a bunch of money on several occasions for purchases of things like routers and phones. So that's all good, and I think we've all done that in various ways, but it's really been fantastic collaboration. So, by the way, on Monday there is a Red Cross meeting in Fairfield, and you're all welcome to come at 7 o'clock. So, invariably there'll be some overtones of these discussions, among other things, at the meeting. So, you're welcome to come to that as well. Anyway. Anything else you want to add, Randy, or anybody else want to jump in real quick? Randy, just drag your heels a little bit.
No, I really don't have anything more at this time, other than to, again, point out that, as everyone has, there's been a lot of work done so far. There's a lot more to do, and if anybody's interested in the software development aspect of this, we can certainly use some help in that area. WU2S, back to net control.
Yeah, one of the things I'd like to get done is, and it's been done on the Linksys boxes, I suspect, to go portable to Ubiquiti, or pretty portable to Ubiquiti, is getting the GPS working. There might be some, actually there is some difference now that I think about it. There's no USB port on the Ubiquiti, but there is the software set up for a USB port on a Linksys node. That's kind of neat. But anyway, over time, things are really starting to form up in very nicely. So we'll chat with you all later, and we'll see what gets. Anybody else have any other things they'd like to add to the net topic-wise? New topic, old topic, for sale or swap, or wanted items, etc. K2BAR. Just be advised that the Barra auction will be the second Sunday of March, not the first Sunday. It will be at Washington Township, Westwood High School in Washington Township, and we hope that you'll come. Sellers, the doors open at noon, buyers at 1 o'clock. There is no admission charge. The club does take a modest percentage. I think it's 10% up to $200, so $20 is the most you'd have to pay if you sold an item. More than $200 worth of sale. Whether it's $200 or $400 or $4,000, you'd spend only $20. So hopefully you'll come and enjoy that. And we'll hopefully see you soon. Randy, I'm trying to also take a second screenshot of the network, and it's giving me grief, so I think I'm just going to send this email now. I've been sitting on it for 20 minutes now, so let me just send it on to you, and that way you have it for your server. I think other than the first item, the first line, I think it's all good. 7-3, everybody. I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for using the repeater. By the way, we had a beautiful brunch on Sunday at the 76 house in Japan. And we'd like to have seen more people there, but the 20 out of us who were there for that lovely festive occasion really had a great time. So 7-3 all, and thank the Barra Group for their wonderful membership. And also encourage you to support other area groups as well, because, there's other niche groups that can bring back a lot of wealth to Barra as well. And everybody operates in slightly different modes, but it's all good. Just one last thing, if you're interested in an internet presence, in addition to Barra.org, Barra.org, you can look for the Comtech group, that's one word, or on Yahoo Groups, or you can send me an email at WT2TTT, and I'll be happy to send you an email.